Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. And I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Well, today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions or listen to your comments as you share them about your narcissistic abuse issues. If you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. All you have to do is call in. To listen to this show, you just go to the link that you came to listen to it, and you'll be able to listen to it after the fact as a recording. Again, the number is 424-220-1801. I'd first like to thank all of you who have been leaving great reviews for my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind. It really helps others, and if you go to the Amazon page, you'll see the comments that people are making and how much it's helping others to decide whether or not this book is great for them. And what I offer you, if you have not left me a review but you have purchased my book, is let me know through email, through loveyourlife@randygfine.com, that you have left me a review and what your name is, and I will offer you a half-hour free counseling session. So I encourage you to do that. Please help me out. It would be really, really nice of you to leave me some reviews. Anyway, the topic that I want to talk to you today about is strategies. Yes, you cannot beat a narcissist at their game. You can certainly manipulate them, and often that works really, really well. Now, you're never going to cure the situation, but you can create a situation that's better for you. So let me talk to you about some of the ways that you can do that. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the tactics that they use on you. Not trusting your intuition. Not seeing what you thought you saw. They deny what you said they said, and so forth and so on. Well, it's very, very easy to turn this around on the narcissist and do the same thing back. So tell them when they accuse you of something or whatever they say to you, you didn't see it, you didn't hear it, and you never said it. Watch how crazy it makes them. it really throws them off track, because if you've never done that before and all of a sudden you're now saying the same things they're saying to you, and you can also just listen to the tactics that they use on you and just reverse them and use them back. It's really a great way to manipulate the therapist and sort of get a laugh out of watching them perform. If you're in a situation where you need to leave, but you're not ready to go, say you have children in the house and you want to make sure that everything's in order before you go. And as I always say, if you're planning on leaving the narcissist, do not do it before you are completely ready, and never give indication that you're getting ready to go. Because anything that you give them ahead of time gives them a chance to sabotage your efforts. And you don't want them to have that edge over you. So if you're planning on leaving a narcissist, get your ducks in a row before you go. But while you are there, you know, if the home life, if you have children and your home life is one of chaos and anger and constant arguments and everything, the best thing to do is to calm the situation down. You want to keep everything peaceful. And the way to do that is to give the narcissist whatever he or she wants from you. So tell them what they want to hear. Don't challenge anything that they say to you. It's really hard to do, and I know this is not an easy thing to do, but anything that you can do to not react and to soften the blow. So narcissists, all they really want to be fed. That's all they want. And they're suckers for compliments, for adoration, admiration, attention. They're suckers for it. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. That's all they want from you. So give it to them. And in the meantime, you can gather enough information so that when you leave, you'll have what you need, or you can get all your arrangements made. In the meantime, they are completely caught off guard because you are being so kind that they're not distrusting you anymore. What they may do is test you to make sure that you're being authentic, and so they may ramp up the abuse in order to get you to react, because that's the norm for them. That's what they want from you, and that's what you've always done. So don't react. No matter how much pressure they put on you, do not react. Just keep up the nice act, the Stepford wife act, whatever you want to call it. Just do it, and then when you're ready to go, go. The other thing that we talk about as far as strategies go is the Grey Rock method. Now, the Grey Rock method is something that you can try to use if you're trying to calm down their anger. If all they do is yell and yell and yell and yell and yell, and you don't really have an alternative, you're not really trying to get out of there or trying to manipulate them in any particular way, what you do is you just give them nothing, because narcissists feed on reaction and emotion. They don't care if it's positive or negative. They don't care about anything as long as it's a reaction. So when you gray rock them, it means no emotion, no eye contact, and a monotone voice. And when you do this again, this is another method to calm them down, they will try to ramp up the abuse and test you. They don't like the fact that you're not reacting. But when you don't, they have to try a different strategy. And so what they do is they become nice and they begin to offer you things. And this is a great time if you have been trying to negotiate with your narcissist over anything, you know, something you may want when you leave, money, whatever it is. Put your name on the house, put your name on the title of something. That is the perfect time to do it because you have got them where you want them. And now they're trying to be nice because they're trying to rope you back in, to hoover you back into the old way of reacting. But don't, again, don't. Now, they'll stay nice for a while. They can't do that forever because it's not their nature, but it buys you time. So these are all different things that you can try. If you are in a situation where you have to face a narcissist in court, the most important thing for you to do, besides having the right attorney who knows how to deal with a manipulator, which is crucial, but the best thing for you to do is to sit there and be dignified and unreactive. Because the narcissist is alleging things against you, and what they want to do is see you react so that they can say to the judge or to your lawyer or whatever, look how crazy that person is. So you don't react. And when you don't react, they begin to simmer. And then they boil. And then steam. And then they begin to blurt out things that go against any allegations they've made. They make themselves out to be liars. So you just sit there, and they will eventually blow if you stay calm. Again, this is a call-in show. The number to call in is 424-220-1801. You can call in and ask me any questions that you would like to ask, or you can comment or share about your experiences. It would be great to hear what kind of tactics and strategies you've used to get you through, or if you have questions about the strategies that I'm sharing with you, then you can ask me how you can use them in your particular situation, because these strategies work in different ways and at different times and for different reasons. Okay, so now we're going to talk about phrases that you can use. Instead of reacting, neutral phrases that you can use that answer them but don't really answer them and will frustrate them. You know, the more that you can strategize and manipulate the narcissist, the more you're going to regain your power, your personal power, your self-confidence. When you see that you are not just at their mercy, but that you can play with their minds as well, it is so empowering. And it's really a great thing to do if you're feeling like you have a lack of confidence and you're feeling like your worth is very low. Try these because you will see that you do have power in this relationship and you can exert it and it will work. So the idea that a narcissist cannot be manipulated is absolutely wrong. Because they can. But as I said in the beginning, you cannot beat them at their game. The reason you can't beat them at their game is because narcissists will stoop to any level to ruin you. Any level. And, you know, I often hear people say to me, well, you know, they don't have enough money to get a lawyer, so, you know, why should I even bother to get a lawyer? They're not going to have a lawyer to fight me. They are so super resourceful. I have seen them do amazing things, miraculous things. So what they'll do is they may get a partner, they may get a flying monkey, tell a flying monkey how desperate they are, how bad you are, how much they need to fight you because look what you're doing to the children or look what you're doing to the family or whatever it is. And they get all these people or at least one person to feel sorry for them. And that person will dig into their pocket and fund whatever that narcissist needs. So if your narcissist is unemployed, doesn't have any kind of savings account, doesn't have the means to hire an attorney or anything, you know, I can't think of every situation, but anything like that, don't doubt that they have the resources to fight you. They do. And don't doubt that you're the only supply, because I guarantee you, you're not. Narcissists never leave themselves that wide open. They have to have two sources of their drug, at least, many more. And generally, male narcissists have to have other women on the side because they're very insecure about their masculinity. So they must have other women. So if you're not there, they're going to go to someone else. Sometimes that's a good thing. That may scare you. It may, you know, you may be at a place in your healing or discovery that you don't want them to go someplace else. But just keep in mind how resourceful they can be, and don't think that they think like you do. They will find whatever they need to destroy you or to get supply. So, again, this is a call-in show. The number is 424-220-1801. I would love to hear your comments or questions, so feel free to call in. It really helps everybody when you share. Okay, so I talked about phrases that you can use instead of reacting. One of them is, and these are all just basic, generic answers that are non-answers. One of them is, whatever you think. In other words, okay, you know, I don't have a feeling on this one way or the other. Another one is, that's fine. Another one is, well, you're certainly entitled to your opinion. Or, oh, okay, got it. Another one is, I'm sorry you feel that way. Or you could say, if only. Or, yes, you've said that before. Or you could say, I hear you. Or another one is, what a shame. Or you could just say, hmm. And I'm sure you can think of plenty more. But these are great because you answer them. They can't get angry for you ignoring them or not answering them. And they don't know what to do with these things because you're not, again, you're not reacting. And they're feeding on reaction. And that's the last thing you ever want to do with a narcissist. So I'm looking for you to call in. The number is 424-220-1801. I would love to hear what you have to say and answer your questions. So that's pretty much what I have as far as strategies go. Let's talk now about, again, rebuilding your self-confidence and your self-worth. And what this really, really comes down to is what you tell yourself. That sounds really simple, and I know it's not simple. But understand that you have been programmed to think a certain way, and you've been programmed to believe that how you think is how you think. But I'm here to tell you that it's not. It's not how you think. It's what's been put into you. And the way to change that is to be aware of it. So anytime you're saying something negative to yourself or about yourself, question it. Why are you saying that? Who told you that? Where did that come from? Was it your parents? Was it your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend? Was it your boss? Was it a friend? Why are you saying these negative things to yourself? You came into this world a perfectly healthy person, a human being, a baby. You didn't have these thoughts. You are a complete blank slate. So any of these thoughts that you have about yourself, they're coming from somewhere. So pay attention to them. Now, when I say that, I'm also referring to this concept of self-love. Anything that you say negative about yourself or allow yourself to ruminate on, that is not loving. So when we talk about self-love, there's so many aspects of self-love. But the one thing that most people disregard is what they say to themselves about themselves. So when you're saying, I'm worthless, stop yourself and say, whoa, cancel, deny. Not true, and you have to reverse that. At first, it's not going to be an automatic thing, but it's very important to pay attention to any negative thoughts you are having, because your negative thoughts are programming. They're conditioning, and they do not serve you well. Your negative thinking is going to work against you. You want to think in a very healthy, positive way, and you want to think in a self-loving way. So self-love is more than just being kind to yourself or doing some nice things for yourself from time to time. Self-love is about being kind to yourself in every aspect, and that means what you think, what you say. Being a perfectionist, that is not self-loving, because it creates anxiety and pressure. That is not a self-loving thing to do. So beware of the thoughts that you are having and begin to change them. You can create affirmations that are the opposite of what you're saying to yourself. If you're saying to yourself, I have to do everything perfectly, an affirmation would be, I am acceptable even if I'm not perfect. I am lovable even if I'm not perfect. The world goes on even if I'm not perfect. And I'm sure you'll agree that those statements are true. So what you want to do is counteract everything that you're saying negative to yourself with a positive affirmation or a positive statement, and say it all the time. Say it any time these thoughts run through your head. Come up with an opposite. Now, the other thing to pay attention to is your intuition. So through gaslighting, you've been taught to listen to the dialogue in your head and not the gut feeling that you have about something, because you have those feelings. Every single time someone does something to you that you don't like or is abusive or manipulative, your first feeling is your gut feeling, and that tells you if it's wrong or right for you. So our tendency, because we've been programmed and conditioned, is to cancel out the gut feeling and to go to our head and start rationalizing. That could be true. He has a point there. She has a point there. Maybe I took it the wrong way, or, maybe she didn't mean it the way she said it, or whatever it is. That is your reasoning, but it's not your gut feeling. And the thing about this abuse is the first time anyone comes to me for counseling, the first thing they do is question their reality and ask me to validate their reality, which I automatically do, because as soon as I hear, I know what's going on. But your reality and the way that you feel about your reality doesn't have to be based on anything. It doesn't have to be based on logic. It doesn't have to be based on approval. It's based on how it strikes you, how you feel when it is said to you or done to you. This could be even if you're in a meeting at work or you're with a friend. And, you know, because narcissists in particular have a way of saying things and not saying them. So their statements can be taken different ways. And you can never call them on what they say because they're always, statements are always phrased in a way that they can back out of them. So it's very easy for you, if you call them on what they said or did, for them, you know, for you to rationalize it, because they're going to give you reasons to rationalize it. But your first gut feeling, that is what you always trust. So as you go out today, pay attention to that. Pay attention to every time that alarm goes off inside of you and begin to believe it. This is power. This is a tool that you will use for the rest of your life in every situation, whether it be positive or negative. If you can listen to your instincts and trust them, learn to trust them. I'm not saying that's going to come right away because you've been taught not to trust them. But if you can learn to trust your instincts, you have a guide that is always right. So pay attention to your reactions, your feelings, your thoughts. Many of them are not your own. The reactions are your own. Not the reactions, but the intuition is your own. Pay attention to the intuition. That is the only thing that truly is your own. And truly something nobody can plant in there. So if a narcissist, all they want to do is try to change you, you can't be changed if you believe in yourself. Again, I have a few more minutes. The number to call in is 424-220-1801. If you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can please call in, and I'll be happy to answer them. It doesn't even have to be related to this show. It could be related to anything. So let's talk a little bit about the holidays, because this is a time where we're thrown back in with our families. Often we don't feel like we have a choice in that matter, because we think, well, if we don't, things are just going to get worse. So if you want to spend time with your family and you don't want to stir up any trouble, there are things that you can do. One thing is to not be there a long time. Come for one aspect of the evening, not all of it. Come for dinner, and then you have other plans, or just say you have other plans. Or come for the opening of the presents, and then you have other plans, you have to leave. But do not stay there for the entire day or evening or whatever, because things are inevitably going to get bad. Something is going to trigger you. Something is going to be said that's hurtful. And you don't have to be there and be hurt or offended. You do not have to. So that's one way to do this. Now, if you don't want to go, if you really don't want to go, you do not have to go, and you can come up with excuses for the last minute. I wouldn't say this is a long-term way to do this, but if you've committed to going to a holiday and everything in you says, don't go, don't go, don't go, just pretend you got sick at the last minute. So sorry. I wish I could have come. I am not feeling well. I have a fever. I don't want to infect everybody. The last minute. Just do that and don't go. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You can also just say no thank you. Now, when you say no thank you, understand that that's going to stir up a whole lot of trouble. But at some point, if you are going to create boundaries and state boundaries with these people, you are going to stir up a whole lot of trouble. There's no other way to do it. And when you stir up trouble, you've got to have the tools behind you to be able to deal with what comes up. And the main tool there is the boundaries. The boundaries of stating what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and cutting the cord the minute something is unacceptable. But that's only when you've stated it. So many people think that they can insinuate how they feel. Oh, I've stayed away for a couple of months, so they kind of know how I feel. Wrong, wrong, wrong. They do not know how you feel. Because narcissists think they own you. So they always believe you're coming back. They just think you're having a hissy fit for a couple months. But you're coming back. And they're that cocky enough to believe it. Never think that a narcissist is analyzing your behavior and understanding your motive. Because they won't. The only thing that works with a narcissist is boundaries. Saying, when you do this, that is intolerable to me, and I will no longer put up with it. So when you do that, this is the consequence. And I've talked about boundaries a lot before. Boundaries are not boundaries without a consequence. And when you begin setting boundaries, you want to make sure that your consequences are ones you can follow through with. Because you want the narcissist to believe that you mean what you say. And if you set a consequence and do not follow through with it, that just makes you look weaker and more easily manipulated. So before you begin, you know, starting to say no, make sure that you're ready to start setting your boundaries, putting your boundaries in place. So those are some tips that I have to offer you, tactics, tips for the holidays. You know, the other thing is that you do not have to react to anything that is said to you or done to you. If every year your mother or father gives you the gift you don't want when they've asked you what you do want, just say, oh, thank you, that's wonderful. Don't react. Don't let them see the disappointment in your face. And really, they've probably done it every single year for years and years and years. You never get what you want. They'll ask you what you want, but you never get what you want. So don't be surprised. And don't expect that this holiday season that there's going to be any magical changes. All of a sudden, the wonderful family that you have is going to be healthy. It's just going to happen this year. Because the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Call on the past. That is your reality. Nothing is going to be different this year. So go into it fully aware and fully prepared of what you're about to face. If there's someone that you know is abusive, don't get into a conversation with them. Don't sit near them. Don't find yourself alone in a room with them. Stay with the group. Try to stay neutral. Don't get cornered. And should you end up having a really awful time and all your buttons are pushed and you're seriously triggered, just go home and regroup. Write down what happened to you so that next holiday you don't have the same kind of magical thinking that you're going to, it's all going to be okay. I want you to be able to remind yourself what the reality of the situation truly was and be prepared next time for it. So hopefully what I've given you today are going to help you with your narcissistic abuse issues. And I really do wish you a happy holiday. You know, traditions don't have to be what they were. They can be what you create. You can make new traditions. And just because the rest of your dysfunctional family is getting together as they did every year doesn't mean it's a good place to be. Doesn't mean it's a happy tradition. We tend to think that family, no matter who they are, is important to us. And the honest truth is, a dysfunctional family is not. If you have a family that is willing to make changes, a family that hears you and tries, truly tries, over the long period of time, consistent, and regains your trust, that's one thing. But anyone who just steps all over your values and your boundaries, that's not someone you need in your life. I don't care how you're related. I often say many of us come through our families. We are not of our families. Just because you were born into this family doesn't mean that they're supposed to be with you for the rest of your life. Sometimes you are going to have to create a new life with new traditions and new people you consider family. Family doesn't have to be blood. Family can be anyone. Family can be the people you work with. Family can be your friends. Family can be you and your children, or you and a new partner. So you can create new traditions and make them happy. I want you to be happy. And that's hard-earned when you've been abused this way. Happiness is not an easy thing to do. It is a conscious, a deliberate state of mind that you eventually achieve. And when I say that, if you are in the middle of a very abusive situation and you are still being triggered, don't expect to be happy. Just expect to get out of there and to heal. That's the most you can expect initially. Because if you're in a situation where you are constantly being triggered and constantly hurt, you cannot heal. And until you heal, you cannot be happy. You know, I don't care what anybody says. You know, think positive and all these kind of things. These wounds are very, very deep. The abuse is extremely serious. Extremely. So don't doubt that for a minute. What's been done to you has changed you. And eventually, it can change you in a very good, positive way, in a way where you embrace happiness and you embrace the life that you choose and you fulfill your dreams. But let's be realistic. Thinking positive is not going to change how you feel in the middle of a healing situation or even before it begins to happen. So, you know, if you're putting off making the changes in your life that will allow you to heal, just think about it. If you start today, a year from now, you'll be free. If you don't, a year from now, you're still going to be in the same place, suffering the same abuse, feeling the same way about yourself, and telling yourself how horrible and worthless you are. So the message for today is, start today for a better you. Yes, it will take time, not necessarily work, but time and focus. and I am always here to help you. I really hope you understand that. And you can contact me through my website, randygfine.com. Go to the Fine Life Issues Counseling page. I can help you. I promise you, no matter how bad it is, I promise I can help things to get better for you. I can give you guidance. I can validate you. I can give you support. And I have tools like you wouldn't believe. So it doesn't matter what you're going through, who you are, I can help you. So call on me. Allow me to do that. So anyway, this is going to be the last show before the Christmas holidays and before the new year. So I want to wish all of you wonderful, wonderful holiday season, a very happy new year. And let's try to create healing on the other side of the year. So let's make 2019 the year that we all find healing, no matter how we have to do it. Let's do it. Because when we heal other people, and we can make this horrible disorder go away. So let's all join together and heal. I wish you all joy and serenity in your life, always. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.